Everybody's got DNA. What is our DNA that makes us who we are? We've been talking about joy, and we're going to continue to talk about joy this week. Last Sunday, remember, we talked about those things that take our joy away from us. We called them joy suckers. There were seven of them, seven joy suckers that'll just suck the joy right out of your life. Because we believe joy is important. God has given us joy for a reason, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I was impressed last week that so many of you declared war on the enemies of joy. And I watched you take the battle right to the enemy's camp. And you stood up, said, "No more, I'm not giving my joy away." And I believe God's going to do some incredible things in your life, in your family, in your marriage, and even in the church. This morning, we want to take it a step further, and we want to talk about how to plug in to joy. We know what the enemies of joy are, but how is it in our life that we can plug into joy? Because I believe the joy of the Lord is part of God's nature, and we're partakers of it. Do I have a witness? We're partakers of that joy. It's not something you have to go out and get. God's already given it to you. It's resident in you. But just like that power plug over there, it's got all the power in it, but you got to plug into that if you want to take advantage of those resources. I believe this morning God wants you to plug in to joy. He wants to show you how to plug in and take advantage of the joy of the Lord that is set before us. It's important, isn't it? We read last week in Philippians, Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." He said it twice. I don't find anywhere in Scripture where it says, "Be patient." And again, I say, "Be patient." Can't find that anywhere, you know. There's something that when he said it twice, like he said, "Hey, listen, you need to pay attention." He says, this joy thing's pretty important because it's going to be the strength of your life. And the enemy knows that too, and that's why he wants your joy. So we're going to begin this morning. I want you to look at joy in a little different way. Joy is not a thermometer. It's not a thermometer. Thermometers, they tell us how things are. Is that right? Yeah, whether it's hot or cold. And you can look at the thermometer, and it'll tell you what the temperature is. But the thermostat, that's a different thing, isn't it? The thermostat, it doesn't just register what's going on. It regulates what's going on. Amen? I believe that the joy of the Lord will be a regulator in your life. Is that just going to, I mean, it's easy to talk about what's going on, but how are we going to respond to what's going on? In the book of Habakkuk, the third chapter, the prophet was talking to God, and he had all these questions, and God was answering his questions, and he was responding back, and it was about the judgment that was going to come on Judah. And at the end of it all, this is what the prophet said. He said, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls." What's he describing? A dire situation, right? Let's put it in modern terminology. We might say it like this. "Though there's no food in the refrigerator, and there's no money in my account, I just got my pink slip. The sickness is getting worse. My children and grandchildren, their lives are a mess. My spouse doesn't appreciate me anymore." I mean, the list could go on and on, you know. That's the thermometer talking. That's the way things are, isn't it? And we all have those things in our life. But how does the prophet respond? He looks at the thermometer. It tells him what it is. And then he goes to the thermostat. And this is what he says. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God, my Savior. What we need to learn this word, yet. It's a setting on your thermostat. We need to learn to say it. Yeah, that's all true. Yet, even though that's all true, we're not denying that. You know, sometimes in the name of faith, we say we're going to deny all those things. There are cattle in the pen. There is. Well, it's nothing wrong with saying, "Hey, this is the way it is. This is what's happening." And the prophet even said, even though this is maybe what's even coming, it doesn't matter. I'm going to the thermostat and I'm going to set it on yet. I think we ought to make some t-shirts and just put on the word yet. Just have yet. That'll create some conversation when you're out and about. What's a yet? Man, that's my joy. My joy is my yet. Yet, even though all those things are true, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The name Habakkuk, a strange Hebrew name for a guy, it means to embrace or to cling. Here's what Habakkuk was doing. He said, even though that's all true, I'm going to embrace joy. I'm going to cling to joy. You say, well, what is joy? You know, is it just a smiley face? I mean, some of you, this is one of the happiest churches I've ever been to, man. Where's my one sister I'm looking for? Has the greatest smile. I don't see her here. The other day I came in the parking lot. I could see her across the parking lot smiling. There she is right there. Stand up and give them that smile. Just stand up. Stand up. Tell me if it's true. Give them, turn around. Look at that. Look at that smile. Man, if you're feeling down, we ought to make you available here at the church. Well, just come in and watch her smile. Watch her smile. Man, it just does something to me. I even rolled my window down. I said, I saw you across the parking lot smiling. Praise the Lord. So, you know, and a smile could be connected to joy. But, you know, it's not just a smile, is it? It's something deep within us. Now, I don't know about you. I know I heard there's a record about smiling. A person, you know, how long can you hold a smile? I mean, the record I understand is 10 hours and 20 minutes, all right? That's the new record in Guinness Book of Records for smiling. Well, a smile is for a moment, but joy is forever. Is that right? Joy, 1 Thessalians 5:16, he said, we rejoice forevermore. We rejoice always. Now, I read that and I go, that's impossible. There's no way you could do that. Not always. That's just not natural. That's not good. Well, that's because we don't understand what joy is. The joy of the Lord that is our strength. Psalms in Psalms, the 33rd chapter, verse 20 and 22, said, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him, our hearts rejoice. For we trust in His holy name. May our unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Hope is not for what you have. Hope is for what you do not have. This thing of joy, it's something deep within us. And Jesus said it would abide with us. I have this definition for joy, three things in my life. Tell me if you agree. Whenever I use the word joy, this is what I think about. Joy is a settled assurance, a quiet confidence, a choice to trust in God and put my hope in Him, no matter what's happening. No matter what the thermometer says, I'm setting my thermostat on yet. Yet will I praise Him. Joy is going to be the deciding factor for me. A settled assurance that God is more in control than we think He is, even though things don't look good right now. Had a brother in the first service lost his job this last week after many, many years. They walk in, sorry, budget cuts. You're out of work. How many of you know that'll suck your joy right away? It'll suck it right out of you. Well, no. It can take your happiness, but it doesn't have to take your joy. Because just like the prophet, he could say, yet will I praise Him, even as He holds that pink slip in His hands. I mean, that takes a lot of faith. That takes trust and hope. And that's the kind of joy we're talking about this morning. That's what we're seeking, isn't it? That kind of joy. Listen, the key to plugging into joy is abiding in the vine. In the book of John, the 15th chapter, verse 11, we looked at this last week. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. What's he talking about? He's talking about John 15, the vine and the branches, isn't he? And he said, if you abide in me and my word abide, you know, you're going to bear fruit. He's telling the disciples what kind of relationship they're going to have. And they're probably standing in a vineyard somewhere. And God says, see that over there? That's like our relationship. I'm the vine, you're the branches. As you abide in me, as you plug into me, as you become part of me, as you remain in me, my joy, which comes from the vine, is going to remain in you. It's just going to be part of you. Now, if you cut that branch off from the vine, what happens? It just dries up. That's our problem. You say, I feel all dried up this morning. I don't have any joy in my life at all. Maybe this is where you need to start. Have I cut myself off from the source of my joy? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. Amen? We need to abide. Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The prophet Nehemiah, they just built the walls of Jerusalem, just finished rebuilding them. It was a tough time. It was a smackdown time in their life. And yet, at the end of it all, he calls them together. They hear the word of the Lord. They say, hey, listen, the joy of the Lord is going to be our strength. It's not our strength, but it's God's strength. Amen? Strength for what? Why is it? See, the enemy knows that without this joy, we're going to have difficulties in life. It's the joy of the Lord that makes me strong. Strong for what, you say? Well, how about trials? Anybody here have trials in your life? I want to make sure I'm in the right group here. Is there anybody here who has not had any trials in your life? Okay. We've all have trials in our life, don't we? Hey, listen to the word of the Lord. James 1, 2 through 4. You believe this before I read it? This is tough. I read this and I just shake my head. He says, consider it pure joy. Pure joy. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Whoa. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. How many of you want to be mature? How many of you want to be mature and complete and you don't want to be lacking in anything? I got both my hands up. Well, he says, here's how it's going to happen. You're going to go through trials. And he said, when it happens to you, and I said, Lord, this is you. It's got to be pure joy. Remember the definition of joy. We're talking about pure assurance, pure confidence, a pure decision. I'm going to praise God no matter what. No matter what, I'm going to praise him. Listen to this, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. If you ever get down and depressed and you're just, man, I'm just not, life, this is not good for me today. Open up to this scripture, find you a nice chair somewhere, turn on some worship music and read these words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, who's mercy for? The guilty. If you're not guilty, you don't need mercy. You need justice. I need mercy. Who needs mercy? I need mercy. He says it's his great mercy that he's given us. And he's given us a new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and into the inheritance that can never perish. And it'll never spoil and it'll never fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven just for you. Who through faith you are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Why are you not joyful? If that is true, and that's what you have to decide, if that is true, then joy is a natural outcome. In all this, he says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have suffered grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and you are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy. What was it that Greg shared with us this morning from the famous atheist? What's the one thing he says, I don't see any joy. He's right. You know, it's the joy. The joy of the Lord is an evangelistic tool you have within your heart because people are drawn to it. Is the joy of the Lord lets us know what is authentic and real in our lives. The late Adrian Rogers defined trials this way, and I like this. He said, a trial is a difficult circumstance allowed by God to transform my conduct and my character. It's true. I think about the trials in my life. They have made me who I am. Oh, I like the good times. I really do. They're blessings. But it's the trials of life, those difficult circumstances that are allowed by God to transform my conduct and my character. Now, this is different, he said, from consequences. What are consequences? Consequences are things that happen to us because of our decisions we've made. And sometimes they're bad. Anybody here ever made a bad decision that you reap later on and say, boy, I wish I could do a do-over? Don't you wish life was a dress rehearsal? And then you get to do a dress rehearsal, and then you get to really do it. Wouldn't that be helpful? It'd be helpful, but that's not how life is. We got to live it as it comes at us. But here's the good news. Whether it's a trial or a circumstance that God has allowed in your life to transform your conduct and your character, or whether it's a circumstance of bad choices that you have made, it doesn't matter. God will use them all. He'll use them all. I used to have a sign in my office. I think it was written centuries ago. It says, good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from poor judgment. Is that true? We try to tell our children, hey, listen, learn from dad's mistakes, you know. But sometimes they got to experience it for themselves, don't they? Actions, the actions of people tell you a lot about them. The world is watching us, how you live. But I'll tell you, it's not your actions really that are real. I think what's more revealing is not your actions, but your reactions. It's your reactions to things. Actions, that's like acting. You know, I can control my actions. I can put on a little play for you. I can make you feel certain things about. I can perform. Do you ever perform? I do. There's the pastor performance. Do you know about that? You do the pastor thing? Yeah. Oh, pastor, but do you really know me? If you're really close to me, like some of my closest friends or my wife, who's not here today, she knows me on a different level because she sees my reactions. Reactions are when things come at you that you're not expecting. I was on a camping trip this week with my two grandsons. We went and watched the Royals play Tuesday night. They won, bless God. We had a great time. And then we went over, and we were at this little camping area, and they had a general store there. And I was in charge of watching the kids, which my wife says, don't ever let Grandpa watch the kids by himself because he gets distracted so easy. You know, I do. Ooh, what's that? And the kids love it. They love it, you know. Wow, we're free with Grandpa. And so I'm in the store, and I'm looking at something, and I hear these words from the cash register lady, horrible words. Boys, boys. Well, mine's the only boys in there, so I perked up. Boys, boys. I thought, oh, that's not a good sign. What's going on? They're over, believe me, I couldn't believe. There's this whole display of jellies, and they're high-dollar jellies, special made. I mean, expensive jellies. My boys are over there opening the jars and smelling it, putting the jar and setting them back down. They went through seven jars that fast. Oh, don't like that. And the lady goes, sir, they've broken the seal on those jellies. So I am now the proud owner of seven jars of jelly. Not just any jelly, $49 worth of jelly. I didn't have time to prepare for this. My first reaction was, boys. And they said to me, Grandpa, we thought they were candles, and we were smelling them. Because we've done that at Cracker Barrel all the time. Oh, smell this, smell this. So they weren't being malicious. So then I bought all this jelly. And for breakfast the next morning, we tried some of this jelly. I put it on their bread. My grandson, I don't like that jelly. I said, oh, yes, you do. You don't just like this jelly. You love this jelly. I took a bite of it, and I was like thinking to myself, I hate this jelly, too. I can't believe it costs this much. Glory to God. But sometimes in life, I mean, that's the little, you know, those are little things. My kids will tell you they hate it. Every time I start to say this, they complete the sentence for me. Because all the time they were growing up, I had this little phrase. I'd always say, if this is the worst that happens to you, you're going to be okay. And they would just, you know, I'd say, well, we know, don't say it. We know if this is the worst that happens to us, we'll be okay. It's true, isn't it? We need to have a different perspective. We get so caught up in our lives You know, and the things are happening to us. Who's calling me? Decline. All right. We should answer that, see who that is. That'd be funny. Well, I want to encourage you today, as we consider this whole subject of joy, that trials in your life, they're a constant and they have a purpose. And I want you to reach deep into your joy and react with joy. Let that be the constant reminder. Here, secondly, we need strength when we are in need. Anybody here ever not been in need? Habakkuk, he gave us the pattern, didn't he? He said, there's times that's pretty bad. What he was describing is pretty bad. I don't want to go there. But he said, even in that situation of great need, he says, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Those are times when I believe God will give us strength to be able to stand in a need, whatever that need might be. In Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But what was the context? We know that verse, but what's the context? He said, listen, I know what it is to be abased. I know what it is to be in need, but I also know what it is to have more than enough. He said, I have learned in whatever state I am, either way, my God's going to supply all my needs. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God's going to take care of me. I believe that I have learned that. How many of you want to learn that? Okay, well, first, God's going to teach you how to be in need. Who wants to line up for that class? The need class is going to be, I want to learn how to be in want. Listen, God's going to keep taking you back there until you learn to be content, to be appreciative, to have joy. Or we're going to have a class on how to have more than enough. How many of you want to sign up for that class? I want to go to that class. Listen, it's harder than you think. It's more difficult than you think. In fact, our strength is our greatest weakness because we have abundance. And sometimes in our abundance, it's hard to be content. We just want a little bit more and a little bit more. Nothing wrong with having more than enough. In fact, God wants you to have enough to be a blessing to others. That's why he blesses you. It's not to heap unto yourselves. It's to be a blessing to other people. When we're in need is when we're going to be able to be strong. Because we're going to draw from the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And thirdly, we're going to need strength to have the eternal perspective. In Matthew 5:11 through 16, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice. He says, rejoice and be glad. Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, they will persecute you. And what does he follow with in that text? He starts talking about that familiar scripture, be the salt of the earth, be the light of the world. You know, one of the ways you're going to do that is by dipping into the joy that God has put in your life. Again, referring back to Greg's words this morning. That's what people are looking for. What sets you apart? What makes you different? I believe it's the joy that God's put in you. And that's why the enemy wants your joy. He'll do anything to take your joy. And listen, the joy I have, no man can take from me. The only way the enemy gets your joy is if you give it to him. You got to surrender it because he can't take it. Jesus said, I want my joy to remain in you. I want your joy to be full. Amen? We need to have an eternal perspective. I remember once I was ministering to a gentleman at the El Dorado prison. He was in prison because he had threatened Bob Dole's life. And that's not something, I think they'll arrest you for that. But he had threatened a lot of people. Even the Israeli government had him at one time, I understand, this brother named Steve. And I was ministering to him. Somehow we got hooked up together. And he got mad at me one day. And he said, I know where you live. I know your family. And I'm going to come and get you. And I said, what? Okay. So I went to the prison authorities. I said, should I be concerned about this? Yeah, you should be. He said, listen, we'll put you on a list. And if he ever gets released, we'll let you know. You need to go to the authorities of your community. Let them know. And they gave me a picture. And so I did all they asked, you know. And I felt this fear rising up in me. Man, this guy could hurt me. He could hurt my family. But then, you know, all of a sudden, a peace came over me. an eternal perspective. I'll never forget, I went to my daughter, April. She was young, and I said, April, if you ever see this man, you be sure to tell Dad. Don't talk to him. Don't engage him. You just, you know. She said, why, Dad? Yeah, he's threatening to kill us. And I could tell that upset her a little bit. What? Kill us? I said, yeah. And I said to her, if that's the worst thing that ever happens to us, we'll be okay. We'll just go to heaven. And I'll never forget, she looked at me, she said, uh-uh. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, he could persecute us first. He could torture us before he kills us. I said, well, that's a good point. Yeah. but see, what's the eternal perspective? Do you have it? Are you so wrapped up in this world you can't see that? You know, hey, what? I'm only here for a little while. I want to make the most of it. Amen. And I'm going to do it with joy. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes. Are you ready for this? This is it. This is how you get plugged in. Fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What perspective do you have this morning? If you've lost your joy, I'll lay odds. You're too wrapped up in the temporal. Because that's not where you find the joy. That's not where you plug in. If you're plugging in over there, the outlet's not going to give you what you want. We need to plug in to this eternal perspective of all that God has given us, and what the things which are seen, they're passing away. I'm only here for a little while. We were at Bill's funeral yesterday, and I want to thank all of you for your assistance with the family and all that happened there. Wow, it was a powerful service. And I could sense the joy of the Lord, and yet there were tears. There was loss. But there was joy. You were there, Mike. Did you sense it? The joy of the Lord. What was it? It's what we said. It's that confidence. It's that assurance. It's that we know that God is in charge and things are going to work out. I'll never forget what Bill said to me before he died. And I have on my calendar, Bill and I are supposed to have breakfast Tuesday. But he's in heaven. I'm still going to go. I'm going to go sit in our table. Just going to go sit there. Because Bill's not there. He's supposed to be there, but he's gone. See, how do you want to look at this stuff? You know, we have a promise that is sure. And Bill, I remember the last time I met with Bill, he said this to me. He said, life is like a railroad track. He said, there's a negative and positive side. He said, there's grief. He was a hospice chaplain. He said, there's grief and there's joy. He said, they run parallel to one another. Until you stand back and look out into the horizon, and what happens to those railroad tracks? They become one. He said, one day we're going to, and he didn't even know. 6 weeks ago, Bill sat in front of me and said, oh, by the way, I've been diagnosed with cancer, and it's very treatable. Very treatable. I didn't know. Hey, Bill, in 6 weeks, you're going to be dead. He said these words not knowing how true they would be for us. He said, when we stand before Jesus, he said, all those tracks will come together as one, and it will all make perfect sense. I went, wow, what an eternal perspective he had. And now we all get to share in that perspective. How about you? How are you looking at life? Do you look at it through these lenses, or are you all wrapped up in the temporal? Lastly, if you've lost your joy this morning, I want you to pray the prayer of David. This is David's prayer in Psalm 51. Remember, he had sinned. He had fallen into adultery with Bathsheba. And he had come to God in repentance. He said, Lord, give me a clean heart. And then he said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. I want you to notice, he didn't say restore my salvation. He's already saved. See, that's the problem today. We have Christians who are saved, but they don't have any joy. And that's what the world's looking for in our lives. Can they see it in us? That assurance, that confidence that no matter what's happening, we know that God's in charge and we know that things are going to work out okay in the end. That'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you deal with your problems. It'll change what you do when somebody says they're going to kill you. You just have a whole different perspective and you don't melt down anymore. Instead, you rise to the occasion and you're like Habakkuk. Even though all that would be true, yet will I praise you. And that's what we're going to do here this morning. We're going to ask God to restore our joy. And we're going to do it at the table of the Lord. We're going to invite you to come this morning as we close our service and partake of the table. This is a table of joy. This is the table we come to. I believe you can get strength from this table because this is our salvation. Jesus came and died. His body was broken. His blood was shed for us so that we could be forgiven. And out of this table comes an incredible joy that will sustain you, and I believe, in every situation. This is the place where we get plugged in. Say, why do I need this? Because you're going to need strength. You're going to need strength to fight for your marriage. You're going to need strength maybe even just to come to church on Sunday. You're going to need strength to deal with the temptations in your life. You don't want to do that in your own strength. You want to do that in God's strength. Where do you get it? It's His joy. In His presence is fullness of joy. That's where we're coming this morning. That's where God is calling us to that place. Not in our strength, but in His strength. The joy of the Lord. We're asking, as David asked, restore it to us again. Do you want to pray that prayer with me today? Because I believe God will answer it, because it's His will. And if you pray according to His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, then you have your petition. So I believe if you pray this prayer, God will answer it. Now, He might take you through some trials. Is that okay? He might take you through some times of need. Is that okay? But I'll tell you one thing He'll for sure do. He wants to change your perspective. So you're going to look at life through the lenses of the eternal. You're going to have a heavenly perspective. It's so different from the world. And it'll draw people to you. I believe that. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank You for the opportunity today to share these things. And I pray that as You have spoken to hearts individually, You've spoken to us corporately, but You've spoken to us individually. You have things You're wanting to do in our lives. I believe You're even allowing things to come into our life to transform us into Your image. Forgive us if we have wrestled with You instead of the enemy. Forgive us if we have given our joy away when in reality we've given our strength away. Lord, restore it again. Just as David asked, we asked. And You answered David's prayer. You're going to answer our prayer today. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. We come to Your table and we receive it. We plug in to that joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Our tradition here is that we would invite you to come down the center aisle. Choose a table. We will serve you. You take the bread, you dip it in the cup, and you partake of it, and then go back up the side aisles. You say, well, who can do this? Anybody. If you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are one of His children, then this table is open to you. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we want to pray with you. What a great way to take communion. Say, Jesus, I want to come to You today. I want what that is. I want, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and the brokenness of His flesh is what heals us. So this is the table we come to today. It is the table of joy. I invite you to come. You will not be turned away. There's room for everybody at this table, and He is inviting you to come. God bless you. love you. I really do. I love you. Go in God's grace and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is going to surround you as you walk in His joy. Enjoy one another. Don't leave quickly. Visit together. If you're here and you need prayer, we're sticking around. We're also going to have a baptismal. Those who want to stick around for that, I love it. We baptize in the likeness of His death and the likeness of His resurrection. I believe there's joy in that tank. We're going to get to, Joe's going to experience that today. I told him, I said, you wait. God's going to do something special for you today. I believe it has to do with joy. I believe it does. If you need ministry, stick around. We'll wait. We're not in any hurry. We want to pray with you. If you want to make a profession of faith today, we want to agree with you. If you need healing in your body, we will anoint you with oil and pray for you. Wow. Take advantage of the body of Christ. It's a gift for you. There's people here who will speak into your life, who will care about you and love you. So don't rush off. Let God do whatever he's going to do. Also, Hannah, right? Made these cupcakes for us, Hannah Edwards. Baked a whole bunch of cupcakes. They're in the foyer. She wants you to have these. They even got chocolate. Isn't that great? So where's she at? Stand up, sweetie. There she is right there. Bless you. Thank you, sweetheart. Okay. Wow, isn't that great? See? So let me pray with you one more time. Father, as we leave this place, we go with the understanding that Your joy is real, and we're plugging into it. Lord, we desperately need this, because without it, we are so weak. But in it, we are strong. Give us strength for those areas in our life where I know many today are struggling. I've heard the stories. I think of Amy today as she said goodbye to her husband. She's drawing from that strength today like at no other time in her life. Lord, we want to continue to walk with her, because I know it feels to her like the fields are empty and there's no cattle in the pens, and yet there's a whole different reality that she's going to experience. So we're going to turn the thermostat, all of us here today, to the yet we will praise you. In Jesus' name, and all the saints said, amen. God bless you as you go. We'll be here to minister. Those who can stay for the baptism, we'd love to have you. God bless you. We love you.